An aroma to the Lord. What on earth could that possibly be? Well, you're not going to figure it out unless you are way ahead of me in my understanding of it. Be several minutes in this lesson before we get back to this aspect of it. An aroma to the Lord. You might want to take your Bible out or your pew Bible and look at two passages of Scripture. The first one is in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and we'll spend several minutes talking about that. And then the other one is Psalm 107. Because you and I need to understand just everything that is involved in us serving God and trying to please God, and more especially, everything that's involved in our worship of God. I want us to talk about worship. I want us to talk about an attitude of heart that is a part of our worship every time we come together. And we're going to do it by looking at that incident in the life of David. The Ark of the Covenant had been in the hands of the Philistines, and now the people of God have that Ark of the Covenant back. But they're trying to move it from one place to another. And you may recall of how instead of letting the priest carry that Ark of the Covenant, they put it on an ox cart. Not an old, dirty ox cart, but one that it was brand new. And they thought that'd be a far better way to move the Ark of the Covenant. They weren't able to do it. And because they were not able to do it that way, God showed them that you should have done it the way I told you to do it the first time. They put it on that ox cart, and when that oxen stumbled, you remember the man by the name of Uzzah that reached up and tried to keep that Ark of the Covenant from falling, and God just struck him dead right there on the spot. Oh, it's a lesson there for us. We need to learn it while we're young, and that is, you don't mess around with God. He's got a heavenly zapper that he can use, and of course, he used it in biblical times, but you see what he did? God said, don't touch that Ark of the Covenant, and when Uzzah touched it, God just struck him dead. It's important and for us to understand the sacredness of worshiping God. And so when we get to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, we arrive at that time whenever David has built his own house and he's got it all finished evidently, and he's got it built, and he said, but we need to get the Ark of the Covenant in a better place. So he put up a new tent evidently. He put up a tent that is called the tabernacle, which is what the word tent means. And there they were going to bring the Ark of the Covenant, and he tells the priest, you better do like God said. And they select certain Levites, for only the Levites were allowed to touch that Ark of the Covenant. And they bring that Ark of the Covenant to the holy city of Jerusalem. And they're headed toward that city of Jerusalem. And David writes this psalm. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 23. Look at the words that David says. Sing to the Lord, all ye earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all people. For God is great and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all people. He's the gods of the people are idols. But our God is the God who made the heavens. You and I need to hear David as he says, honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are His in place. Give to the Lord. And the next verse, give to the Lord the glory that is His. And you and I need to understand, that's what a heart of worship has when it walks into an assembly like this. Why are we here? Well, I have to go to church because I don't want to go to hell. That's not what it's all about. David is not just trying to say, people, well, there are a bunch of laws you need to keep, you know, just like you make your car payments about once a month. You make that house payment, that car payment. Well, every Sunday you make a payment to God because I have to do it. That's not what worship is all about. And can you imagine the excitement of David as he says, let's give to the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Give to Him the glory that is His. And then he says in verse 29, bring an offering and come before Him. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We've used that phrase oftentimes in reference to our worship. Holiness and worship go together, and God wants holy people to come in the very presence of God, and then of the joy that's in their heart and the outflowing joy that's in their heart to say, let's praise God because God is good. Look again at the first verse that is in this text. That's verse 23. Sing to the Lord. And I've got underlined at least in my notes here, and will likely be underlined in my Bible the next time I open it up. And I've got the proper Bible markers. You ever lose your Bible markers? You don't want it to soak through on the next page. To the Lord. The lesson is an aroma to the Lord. And here it is. Sing to the Lord. Give to the Lord. Give to the Lord the glory that is due Him. And so the last verses of that, he says, tremble before Him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. And let them say among the nation, Jehovah reigns. The Lord reigns. And we are gathered this day in the presence of Jehovah, Almighty God, to praise the Lord. And we tremble when we think of His greatness. And yet we are so thankful that we're able to say to the Lord, let us give to Him the praise and honor that is due to His glory. Now, that expression, to the Lord, is found oftentimes in the Bible. Go to Psalm 107. If you'll go to Psalm 107, you'll see how many times, and we obviously in Psalm 107 do not have all the verses that we need to have here. But look at how many times this psalm, a psalm of David, how many times this psalm uses the expression to the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. You see it on the screen? It's highlighted for your benefit. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hands of his enemy. Look down at verse 6. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them, and He led them by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness, and for the wonderful works of the children of men. For He satisfies the longing hearts and fills the hungry with goodness. You see it? David in this psalm looks at places and situations, and here the people of God headed to a city. That city likely was the city of Jerusalem. It may be that heavenly Jerusalem, that city to which we are headed. And may our hearts, as we read this psalm, think about He's given us a city and we're headed to that city. And to the Lord, to the Lord, to the Lord, we're going to give thanks to the Lord. That's what is involved in this matter of worship. Look down at verse 13. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke the chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for the wonderful works of the children of men. Out of darkness, delivered from the bondage of sin. You and I were lost in a world that's characterized by darkness, and God has delivered us from darkness and has broken the chains of bondage. Oh, that men would give praise to the Lord. That's what's involved in the matter of worship. Look down this time in verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of His distresses. He sent His words, and He healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and the wonderful works to the children of men. He sent out His words and heal them. The words of God have healed the sickness of our souls and have brought us salvation and redemption, and our hearts ought to say, oh, that men would praise, could give thanks to the Lord. And that's why we're here. We're not here to make a car payment. We're not here to make sure a house is not repossessed. We're not here to just in some casual way to be involved in a nothingness. We are here to fulfill the words of the heart of this man, David, who is a man after God's own heart. And he shouted out, oh, that men would give thanks unto the Lord. Look at verse 28. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brought them out of their distresses. He calmed the storms so that the waves are still. Then they are glad that are quiet, so He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and the wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt Him also in the assembly of the people and praise Him in the company of the elders. To the Lord, to the Lord. This expression, to the Lord, is a remarkable expression. It is to the Lord in the New King James. It's unto the Lord in the Old King James, in case you're reading the Old King James. Sing unto the Lord instead of sing to the Lord. It's a remarkable expression. Would you like to guess how many times it's found in the Bible? You think it'd be found 100 times? You think it might be found 200 times, 300, 400, 500 times? If the count is right, if the computer's made the count right, it's found 576 times in the Bible. It's to the Lord. It's not about us. The work of God and the plans of God, they're not about us. And so we read of Noah coming out and building an altar to the Lord, and Abraham offering time and time, place after place to the Lord, to the Lord. He built an altar. He built an altar to the Lord. It's not a pile of stones. This is a way that I can come and I can be in the very presence of God. And while the stones are here, it's not the stones that matter. It's the Lord God Almighty. And we are in this building. There are stones in the construction of this building, but it's not a pile of stones. It is the assembly of the saints who have come to the Lord. And that expression, altar to the Lord, is found 15 times in the Bible. The expression, prayed to the Lord or prayed to the Lord, is found 18 times in the Bible. Prayer is not just something we do. It's not just something we say, okay, after the second or third song, so-and-so will lead us in. Oh, no! After that second or third song, some man is going to stand before this congregation and say, it's to the Lord. And heaven is going to listen to what is said because we're praying to the Lord. You and I need to also understand the expression sing to the Lord or sing praises to the Lord is found 22 times in the Bible. Over and over again, the response of those who are redeemed is to say, sing to the Lord. And thank you, Jerry, for that selection of songs this morning. The very theme of that selection, into our hands the gospel is given. You and I need to understand how the Lord expects us to do His will. And because the Lord is good, we sing unto the Lord. The expression sacrifice to the Lord is found 18 times in the Bible. And the expression holy to the Lord. And we are because of the blood of Jesus. Those who have been bought by the blood of Jesus and washed in the blood of the Son of God, we may look at ourselves and see all of our imperfection, but God looks at us, and because of the blood of Jesus, He sees not one imperfection in us, and we are a holy people who have come together in a holy place to worship God in a holy way. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It is to the Lord that worship is involved. And then the expression offer to the Lord is found 13 times. And it's rather remarkable as you look at that expression offer to the Lord. Sometimes it says offer this burnt offering. Offer this grain offering, wheat that would be brought. It was offered to the Lord. The gold was brought and given to the Lord. And you and I need to understand that when we assemble together, we offer to the Lord the fruit of our lips. We offer to Him the monies that we have. We offer to Him our voices. We offer to Him our hearts. What about that verse that says, give your body, that's totality, a living sacrifice? There's a very interesting expression other than that, and that is the expression aroma to the Lord. Where's that found? The very concept of there being an aroma to the Lord. Well, listen. When Noah comes out of the ark, Noah built an altar to the Lord. That's Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. He's out of the ark, and he took of the clean animals of every clean of the clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled, look at this, a soothing aroma. Wait a minute. You're offering burnt offerings to the Lord? What's that going to smell like? You ever smelled burning hair? You ever smelled, back when women used to cook Sunday roast and they'd put it on Sunday morning. Some of you are old enough to remember that. Didn't go out to eat on Sunday. Mama put a big roast on the stove on Sunday morning, and every now and then, maybe once every 2 or 3 years, she'd forget to turn the stove off. And when you walked in that house, there was a stench in that house you couldn't get out for 3 years. And so here's the sacrifices going up. What does it smell like? Burning hair and burning roast. And the God of heaven says, what a soothing, beautiful aroma that is. See the point? You see why I want us today to get our minds focused on everything that is involved in an aroma to the Lord? How remarkable, wonderful that aroma was. Whenever Noah came out of that ark, and there was that aroma to the Lord. But you see, it was not always that way. Look in Isaiah chapter 1. Instead of a beautiful aroma, when Noah worshiped God, the people in Isaiah's day were told by God, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings, of rams and the fat of the fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to pour before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feast my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. What? God, I thought that when we got the altar made and when we brought the sacrifice and we laid that sacrifice and we were doing what you said we ought to do. You said the burnt offerings. You said the new moons. You said the Sabbath days. You said the burning of incense. And God, we've done just what you say, and it gets up to heaven. And God said, I don't even want that. What happened to the aroma of worship? And more especially, is it possible that in our own lives sometimes we make the very same mistake that these individuals made in that day? Is it possible that you and I have done the very things that the Jews had done, so that instead of that being a beautiful aroma going up into the very presence of God, God says, I don't want to have any part of it? What happened? Jesus described the people of his days in these words. Quoted also from Isaiah, but Jesus applies those words to the people of his day. And could they not have application to some today? This people draweth nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What's that saying? It's saying that when individuals come before the Lord and when they have on their lips the very words of God, whenever they bring before God everything that He has specified, that if the heart is not there, instead of a beautiful aroma ascending up to God, it is a stench in the nostrils of God. Think about the Jews of Jesus' day and the sacrifices they brought to God and the fact that they were doing religious things and how God responded to them. Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 23. Hurriedly, perhaps you're acquainted with the fact that these individuals gave alms to be seen of men. Jesus said, whenever they give charitable gifts, to use the words of the New King James, they blow the trumpet so everybody will know how much they've given. Does that sound anything like some of the words that come out of the immorality of Hollywood, where a person who has no respect at all for the sacredness of what God says about purity will all of a sudden announce, I'm going to give $500,000, I'm going to give $1 million to this. Jesus says, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand gives. That individual, that widow who brings her two mites, is seen by God with her sacrifice going up to God as a sweet-smelling aroma. But in contrast to that were those who were out of their abundance giving. And the Bible says He watched them as they gave. And He said, they're giving out of an abundance. I'm fed up with it, God said. They gave, but they only gave to be seen. They prayed, but they only prayed to be heard. They stood in the street corners. They made those long prayers so that they might appear to be righteous to men. And the Lord said, that's what they want and that's what they're getting. But whenever you pray, you enter into your closet and pray. Prayer is a sacred thing to the Lord, but it's not a thing that a man is to use to bring glory and honor to himself and not to the God of heaven. When they fasted, one can fast to the Lord, but those religious leaders, when they would fast, they would disfigure their face so that they might appear unto men to sacrifice or to be fasting to God, and therefore better than those who were not fasting. They had encompassed sea and land. They evangelized the world, but not to bring men to God, but to bring people to themselves. To put another star in their crown, as it were, to put a notch in their gun where they'd said another notch in their sword, the sword of the Spirit, I guess. I've saved another person. Say, look how much I'm doing for the Lord. Salvation of the lost world has nothing at all to do with us. And the honor that comes to us, thanks be to God, that we can evangelize the world not to our glory but to His. In fact, in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 5, He says, everything they do to be seen of God, seen of men. And the praise and the admiration that those individuals wanted to have was self-focused. But here's that publican that is in the temple who would not even so much as raise his eyes to heaven. And he said, God be merciful to me. And the Lord says he went down justified rather than the righteous man who stood and said, God, I thank you for how good I am, and I do this and I do that. Do you understand the prayer of the publican ascended into heaven? Ascended into heaven as an aroma to the Lord. And it filled the throne room of heaven, as the worship of the righteous has always done. And Jesus says to them in Matthew chapter 23, 7 times, woe to you, woe to you, woe to you. Beatitudes, blessed are the meek. Blessed, blessed, blessed. And here's some religious folks. Here's some religious folks who outwardly are keeping the laws of God, but their heart is not involved in it. And it ascends up to God, not as an aroma, but a stench in His nostrils. Hypocrites. He calls them fools, and He calls them blind guides. What do you think about Rabbi so-and-so, the first century Jew might say? Oh, look at that holy garment he wears. Look how he is honored by others and called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And Jesus says, don't you wear those garments. Jesus says, don't you seek after titles. Jesus says, don't you love the uppermost seats in the synagogue. For you're all brothers. Has nothing at all to do with you. It has everything to do with the God of heaven. And so, brother and sister in Christ, when you come to the Lord, you need to understand that your prayers are a delight to God. You see, when we cry out, our response to God is parallel in the sense of when there are several women together and there are four or five children in another room or perhaps outside playing, and one of the little children starts crying. And one of those mothers, not all of them, one of those mothers says, that's my child. And she jumps up and runs into the other room. Why? That's my child that's crying out. And how delightful it is when we cry out to God in the midst of whatever adversity had, and the God of heaven rushes to our aid and says, and that's my child. The satisfaction of prayers. When two Wednesday nights ago in our family prayer that we have on Wednesday night, and my wife Judy said, would you pray for our grandson? He's going to Afghanistan, only going to be there for a couple of days, but that's a dangerous place. I learned something. I learned what it meant. When you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, with one heart and one mind in the midst of that prayer, said to the God of heaven, God, take care of Daniel over there in Afghanistan. And my heart said, amen, amen, amen. A heart crying out to God, ascending into heaven as a sweet smelling, a soothing aroma that filled the chambers of heaven. Or you can pray, and your prayer can be an abomination to God. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination to God. You'll call to me, the Lord said, and I will not answer. Why? Because it's the prayer of a righteous man that avails much. You can sing. You can sing to the Lord openly, and it will ascend into heaven as a sweet-smelling aroma. There's not one word here in this verse or in this concept or one implication at all about singing on key. You know what the Bible says about on key? Making melody in your hearts to the Lord. We measure the quality of singing by the melodious tones that come into our auditory canals. And God measures the beauty of singing from that which comes out of a heart that is crying out to God. And God says, that's the most beautiful singing I've ever heard. We need to understand that. Otherwise, we'll get all mixed up in reference to singing. Or our singing can be nothing but noise. We can sacrifice to God and sacrifice our bodies, and we'll notice in just a minute, that is holy and acceptable to God. We can sacrifice, and we put that in quotes because it's not really a sacrifice, and God will reject it, and it becomes an abomination to Him. Sing unto the Lord. Give to the Lord. Give praises to the Lord. Sing praises to the Lord. Offer to the Lord. Sacrifice to the Lord. And it ascends into heaven as an aroma to God. And you're not in competition with anybody else. You and God. And a little child that stumbles trying to learn how to walk, that mother or father, that grandmother or grandfather looks at him and say, "Isn't he cute? I'll help him. I'll help him get up. I'm going to teach him how to walk." And he mispronounces words and everybody finds out. Let me tell you how cute he is. Let me tell you how he says. And we stumble. And we say things that are not exactly right. And the God of heaven looks at us like a loving father looks to a child on this earth. A loving mother looks to a child on this earth. Loving grandparents see the beauty of that little child and say, "Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that precious?" And the God of heaven looks down and he sees those of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and says, "Those are the most special people on this earth because they're not drawing near to me with their lips and their hearts distant. They're drawing near to me with their lips, and their heart is craving to be with God." Romans 12. "Therefore, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the world set your standard. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect to the Lord." Isn't that remarkable? Present your bodies. He has no hands but ours. He has no arms to embrace. He has no words to encourage that can be heard by men. Nor does he have any feet to carry the gospel to those who are lost. Nor does he have eyes on this earth to see those who are in need. But we have hands, and we have lips, and we have ears, and we have arms, and we have feet, and we have eyes to see. And we take that and we bring it to God and say, "God, this is all I've got." And we look at it and we all can see, "My eyesight's no good, my hearing's going out, and I'm crippled," and all of these things. And we see ourselves, you know, as Cinderella, you know, before the fairy godmother ever gets there. Something far greater than a fairy godmother. Jehovah God takes you and says, "That's my child." And when we worship God, may it ascend to heaven as an aroma that fills the throne room of heaven as a soothing aroma in His presence. What have you offered to God? You better give of your best. You need to offer yourself unto the Lord by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what John 3:16 says. You need to offer yourself to the Lord by repenting. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. You need to offer yourself unto the Lord by confessing your faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And by being baptized, immersed in water, so that you might be a child of God. And the most wonderful thing happens. You're now born of water and of the Spirit. You're now a child of God. And He adds you to His family, the church. And He says, "Someday I'm coming back. I'll take you home to another place." All you need to do, having done these first four things, don't you give up. Don't you dare go back to the way you used to serve God. Let's serve the Lord with the promise, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." How can this church help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing? Will you?